Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London. I'm Suzanne Blumsen. Today we're discussing a long-running tax fraud investigation in Germany that last week led to a raid on the global asset manager BlackRock. Katie Martin spoke to Olaf Storbeck, Chris Flood and David Crowe about the fraud and the political repercussions for the head of BlackRock in Germany, Friedrich Merz.
Olaf, can you tell us the story of the raid on BlackRock and what we know so far?
Yes, so we know that 20 investigators raided the Munich offices of BlackRock. The investigators were looking for information about so-called Cum-Ex deals, which were done between 2001 and 2011, where banks and other financial institutions engaged in a widespread tax fraud in Germany, basically trying to dupe the German taxpayer into refunding taxes which were withheld on dividends more than once. BlackRock don't comment on any details. A source familiar with some details told me that the whole thing is not really against BlackRock as one of the parties who are accused of wrongdoing, but basically as their activities in short-selling shares which were needed for these transactions by other parties.
So, Chris, can you outline exactly how the tax loophole works?
Yeah, I'll try to. The mechanics are kind of complicated to explain, but it involves the buying and selling of securities around the dates when dividends are paid in order to either avoid paying tax on the dividends or to be able to claim a tax refund. It's possible to do these kind of trades via single stocks, derivatives, structured products and ETFs. And it's really the transparency of ETFs that helped to highlight the problem. German ETFs that would track the German DAX index, the main German benchmark, reinvest their dividends that are paid during the year and then pay the tax at the end of the fund's tax year. And what happened was that it was possible to see that there were very large withdrawals from DAX ETFs on the days immediately before the fund's tax year, and then there would be immediately large withdrawals going back in there again. And this was a pattern that had persisted for a number of years because it was actually a very, very well-known loophole. And the market participants that were undertaking them, they would argue that these were trades that were compliant with the letter of the law. But the tax authorities, once they realised belatedly what had been going on, have been asking if these activities really are fraud because the buyers and sellers are colluding to set up the trades.
So, Olaf, how did this all come to light and end up ensnaring BlackRock?
There's a long-running criminal investigation by the authorities in Cologne. They don't comment on it at all, but according to some people familiar with details, at the moment are looking at 70 people who basically were engaged in one big tax fraud ring, and they're going through documents and got information that apparently some of these shares used in these complicated contractions were borrowed from BlackRock.
How damaging is this likely to be to BlackRock's German chairman, Friedrich Merz? Because he's campaigning to become Angela Merkel's successor as the head of the Christian Democratic Union in December, right?
Yes, so some people say it's really curious that this raid is happening at this point in time. It's politically, potentially quite damaging for him because he's been a kind of outspoken economic liberal, and people from the kind of left spectrum have been criticizing him for his roles at BlackRock and roles at other German companies and banks, and it doesn't really look good. But if you look at the fact, he only joined BlackRock in 2016 as a chairman, about 5 years after the alleged transactions had ended. So he's not personally responsible for this potential misconduct. The big question will be, what did he do at BlackRock to investigate internally what happened in Munich, and did he try to get to the bottom of this or not?
So, Olaf, how much attention is this all getting in the German press?
It's quite a big story, especially given that Friedrich Merz is the chairman of BlackRock in Germany, but it's more seen as a political story than as a financial story at the moment, given the campaign by Merz to become Angela Merkel's successor as CDU leader. The whole Cum-Ex saga has been grinding on for quite a long time, and there have been raids at other banks. Hypo Finance Bank, the subsidiary of UniCredit, has already paid penalties. DZ Bank, which is Germany's second largest lender owned by the cooperative banks, has paid 149 million in tax to the authorities already because they engaged in these trades. So it's making quite a few headlines, and the BlackRock Mert personality thing adds quite a lot of spice to this.
So some people are calling this a loophole, some people are saying it's illegal. Which is it?
So far, we didn't have a formal court ruling on these cases. We have five bankers who are charged by the Frankfurt Criminal Prosecution Office. The court, which is based in Wiesbaden, is still deciding if they open up a trial. But the common view these days is, and the mainstream view is, that these trades were illegal and basically constitute a tax fraud. But obviously the lawyers of these people who have been charged and who have been engaged in these deals argue that it was legal. And the thing is, they used a technical loophole in the tax collecting system, which enabled them to basically get a second certificate from a second bank that a tax was paid, which they then could use to get a tax refund. But if you look at the kind of spirit of the law and how it was meant to be working, it was clearly against the spirit of the law, because eventually people claimed a tax refund for a tax they didn't pay.
So, David, why has this been happening in Germany in particular?
So, unlike some other countries, most German companies pay one dividend a year, and the payout ratio is quite high. And so if you think about this from the sort of fraudster's point of view, you have the option of setting up four trades a year, quarterly trades, for not very high dividends and therefore not very high tax refunds. Or you have the option of one big apple, if you like, that you can go for once a year. And it looks like that's why Germany and some of the other countries that were caught up in this were so attractive to the people that were concocting the wheeze.
So what other banks have been involved?
So most of the banks that have come out and said that they are involved are indeed foreign banks. So we've had Macquarie saying it expects its senior managers to be interviewed as part of the investigation. Santander has been caught up into it. And that is because the German authorities sort of partially closed this loophole in 2007 and made it very difficult for the German banks to facilitate this. However, they did not apply the same rules to foreign custodian banks. And therefore, if you wanted to carry on doing this creative trade, shall we say, you had to go and get a bank outside the country.
Chris, are there any other jurisdictions where this might have occurred?
Yes, it certainly looks as if that's the case. So the German Federal Parliament had set up a special investigation committee to look at this issue, and it has noted that similar loopholes exist in Belgium, France, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, Switzerland, and there have been some recent reports suggesting that the tax authorities in Denmark have also lost substantial revenues, perhaps as much as 2 billion euros.
2 billion euros? I mean, do you have any sense of how much money is involved in total?
Well, in Germany alone, there's some estimates that suggest that the tax revenue loss may have been as much as 7.2 billion euros for the years between 2005 and 2011. So really substantial amounts of money.
That was Katie Martin speaking to Olaf Storbeck, Chris Flood and David Crowe. We'll be back with another news feature tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're not already a subscriber and would like to discover more FT content, do take a look at our latest subscription offer at ft.com/offer.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.